Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Whether you're going for a job, out on a date, or you're just, you know, walking down the street, the first impressions you get from and give to people are vital. Apparently, we kind of know that, don't we? But why? How do our brains jump to conclusions so quick? And can we ever come back from a bad start? Well, neuroscientist Brian Penny is back with me now to have the chat. How's it going?
Great, Jen.
Okay, so the phrase "don't judge a book by its cover" shows that our nature is to kind of go with our first impression. So what strikes you or us first when you see someone?
Right, so it's really interesting. There's kind of two processes at play. The very obvious one, how people look, how they sound, smells, they can all initiate our first impressions. But the other process, that's sort of an awareness, that's what we know. But there's kind of an unaware thing going on as well. It's like our conditioning, how we've been programmed in the past, where we grew up. And we might not even be aware of these things. So there's that aware thing that that's very clear. But then there's these other things under the bonnet that is really driving our first impressions. And whether consciously or unconsciously that we're aware of it, we tend to prefer people who are similar to us in looks, behaviour, attitudes and personality. So our first impressions are very much based on how similar they are to us.
No way!
Yeah, it's interesting.
Is that why we see a lot of couples that kind of look the same? Do you know that way? You see couples, they're like, oh, they're quite similar.
Yeah.
How they look. Isn't that crazy?
That's not crazy. So if you look at the science of attraction, we'll do that another day.
Yeah.
So the science of attraction, similarity is one of the biggest predictors of who you're going to be attracted to. And obviously, first impressions play a massive role into that as well.
Okay. So what bias are involved in us creating a first impression?
So this is really cool. So basically, as I mentioned there's two processes, what we're aware of and what we're not aware of. And what we're not aware of are these biases that are sort of driving a lot of our behaviour. So implicit biases, I actually done a lot of my research around this. An implicit bias is something that is under the hood where you're not consciously aware of it. And this is where prejudice and stereotypes come from. And what they find with people with implicit behaviour, we tend to have associations to do with our conditioning and our programming over time, and we make judgments and we have attitudes towards certain type of people. So imagine, let's say you grew up in an area, so I'm a Northside Dubliner, so I grew up in an area, and you often hear this argument going on, like snobs versus people from lower areas. So we would have implicit biases depending on where we grew up. And what it is, if you're consistently hearing again and again and again as you grow up that people from certain areas are involved in crime, or people from certain privileged areas are snobs and they look down on everybody, that is an implicit bias you're going to have. So when you meet someone, that sort of, all of that, them thought processes you've had in the past is going to drive your impression of someone else as well.
Okay.
Now, this is where it gets really tricky as well in terms of why first impressions can be so powerful, because there's an effect, a bias called the halo effect. And this kind of drives our long-term impressions from our first impressions. So if we have a first impression of somebody and we see, wow, they're confident, they seem to be like good people, that is going to infer all of our other feelings about that person as well. It creates an anchor for that as well. And then we have the favour we've chatted about many times, as a confirmation bias. So we will confirm what we think and disconfirm what we don't think. So imagine a minority group, let's say, and you have a bias towards a certain minority group. So when you see what you think you believe they do, you will confirm that evidence I told you, so that'll be the bias, I knew that, but you will disconfirm other behaviours. And it's like the halo effect, that implicit bias and that confirmation bias, they can all combine and create a really powerful unconscious drive to forge our first impressions of people.
So what you're saying is we should never really judge anybody on a first meeting, but we can't help ourselves, Brian. Like, it's gonna, it just happens. It just happens. And we're in these situations where we need to be judged, like a job interview. So, I mean, how can this affect things like job interviews? And how can you how can you make a good first impression, I suppose, in a job interview?
Yeah, see, this is the big challenge. Like, there's so many of these psychological factors at play, and it's not like they're not necessarily bad. When you think of stereotyping, that actually came from psychology. We stereotype an apple versus an orange. It's just sort of categorizing these things. So a lot of these biases, we can't take in all of the information in the world. It would just be too much overwhelm for our brains. So we select, our brain takes these shortcuts to select these biases. So we can't really get away from that. So when it comes to job interviews, we really need to set the tone with those first impressions, because we talked about those sort of more conscious biases that are in awareness. So it's like, if you walk into an interview and you're dressed smart, you look prepared, you're not going in looking anxious, and I know that can be difficult for some people, all of a sudden someone will say, well, first impression, they're confident, they're dressed smart, the halo effect will kick in. They will infer other knowledge based on that first impression. They will start confirming their initial biases based on that as well. There's very little you can do about the implicit bias when you meet someone, because you don't know their history, you don't know what their biases are. But try to control the controllables. What can you control? Look smart. Try to act confident going in. Get your first 10 seconds right, the firm handshake, whatever it is for you, and just try to control the factors that are under your control.
And what about dating?
Dating is the interesting one, because I didn't really know much about this. So I dug into a little bit of research on this. And basically, the research shows that short-term first impressions are really built around confidence. If you have an air of confidence about you, you create a really great first impression, early first impression. But if you want long-term and impressions that last, it's an element of warmth is what you really have to have. So for people that are wanting to make good first impressions on when they're going on a date, there's a couple of little tips that people say, because there's gender differences within this as well. So one of the things is to bring some positive, emotional, expressive energy to every encounter you have with other people. So demonstrate that you're full of life, you're full of enthusiasm. Smile, be positive, and just bring your energy and enthusiasm to the encounter. Obviously not over the top, you don't want to be too enthusiastic, but expressive positive energy is really, really important. Another one that's really key is showing the interest in another person, because you might want to make a great first impression and talk about you 24/7. That is not going to leave a good first impression. So show interest, be an attentive listener, have manners with the other people, with the waiters if you're going into a restaurant. So focus on the other person, be polite, practice empathy, practice listening, and that's a really powerful way to create a good first impression. And back to the confidence piece, maintain a slight air of confidence without being arrogant, I suppose, is where you don't want to go. So having self-respect. And something that I found is interesting, whether I agree with it or not, I'm not too sure, is the key to a good first impression is to leave them wanting more of you, which makes perfect sense.
It can be
difficult to do.
It makes sense. But what happens if you make a bad first impression? You know, you don't dress smart for that interview, or you do talk about yourself on a first date or whatever. Can we do anything to alter the first impression others get from us?
I don't think we can, because the reality is all of these biases are at play, and it's very hard to get someone to disconfirm the evidence. I think, again, you're looking at factors that are massively outside of your control. So if somebody lacks their own self-awareness and is really biased and as stereotypes in a strong direction, and you walk in and confirm that evidence, they're going to have stories and belief systems that are going to be very, very, very hard to break down. So that can be quite difficult. So you really need to, if you want to make a good first impression, you have to control what's inside of your control.
Yeah, the controllables.
Control the controllables. But what I would say as well, and I think this is the most important thing, it's around authenticity. Like, you've got to be authentic. You've got to be your true self. And there's a fabulous book out there called Blink by a guy called Malcolm Gladwell. Great author. He really captures some great topics in books. And he was talking about, he wasn't specifically talking about first impressions, but he says we make decisions in a blink of an eye, and it's driven by these unconscious factors. And there's a great story he has in his book, that there was this statue, this Greek sculpture called, it was a Kuros or something it was called. It was like this beautiful statue that's worth a fortune. And every bit of evidence, when they looked at this pristine statue, every bit of scientific evidence and every test that they did said it was the real deal. But as soon as the experts seen it, in the blink of an eye, they didn't even have to think about it. They said, that's fake. It was that gut instinct. It was that they just knew it wasn't authentic. So what I would suggest that sort of dismisses a lot of what I've talked about already is be you, be true to your wonderfully weird self, because you will attract who and what you need in your life and you will repel what you want. So if you have something unique about you as well, bring that to the table. Now, it's great to be energetic. It's great to be confident. It's great to be caring about other people. They're fantastic traits, but you've got to remember to be you as well, because paradoxically, if you're all about setting first impressions, you might get anxious about it as well. And then that can sort of, whether it's dating, whether it's job interviews.
People are going to make up their mind about you anyway, as we've learned. And if you worry about it too much and you apparently, or whatever, you mess it up, you can't come back from it anyway. So like, don't worry. So be your true self.
Be your true self.
And attract the people that should be in your life and need to be in your life.
That's
and
it,
the
yeah.
job that you should get.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if they don't like it, lump it. And if you don't get the job probably wasn't for you, you know? So that authenticity sort of guides you to where you should be in your life.
Okay. Brian, always a pleasure.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.